Hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, praise God. We're glad you're here tonight. I thank God for the opportunity to preach the word. And I was in the hospital today up in Oklahoma City. I started praying for Sister Beverly and then others that were in rooms close by. You know, a lot of people believe in divine healing. They may not live the life, but they believe that there's power in the name of Jesus. And I want to tell you tonight, I believe there's power in His name. I believe there's victory in His name. And I believe through Jesus Christ we can live an overcoming life. You say, well, the devil's getting close to my trail. Well, remember, the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous can run into it and be saved. So we thank you for the offerings tonight. And thank you for all the good things you've been bringing in to eat. Wonderful cakes and pies. And one lady brought us a mile high dessert. We've got it cut down to half a mile now. And just so many things have just been so good. We don't need no more sweets for a while, though, do we, Sister Rich? And but today I was in... Stopped off in Golden Corral to get a little snack there, you know, on my way back from the hospital. And I got to talking to a lady there that was from Mexico. And she was down from Guanajuato, where the mummies are. Oh, yes, that's where she was from. And I started talking to her about those mummies. And she said, oh, yes. And she told me how they were petrified. Their bodies, everything petrified by some kind of strange process of time. There's even one woman there that has a baby that's nursing her, and her and the baby both are petrified. And I thought, man, you don't have to go all the way down there to preach to people that are petrified. Sometimes in the Holiness Church, you wonder if you're preaching to a bunch of mummies. You wonder if you're I could have said to those mummies, let's praise the Lord. No response. Oh, yes, I could have preached a sermon to them. No response. Could pass the offering plate around, and nobody would have put anything in. But, oh, God said we were lively stones. We're supposed to have some life in us. We're supposed to be alive unto the Lord, dead indeed unto the world, but alive unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Over 200 years ago, in Richmond, Virginia, a red-headed statesman by the name of Patrick Henry, he stood in a wood-frame church building, and he made a speech. And his speech was this statement: I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death. At that time, the United States was under rule of the British, and this man was seeking freedom. And he said, give me liberty or give me death. And the grandfather of Robert Lee ran up and stood beside him and said, if you die, you will not die alone. And that was when free America began to be born. And I'm glad for the freedom we have to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. I can come here and preach whatever I feel like preaching, and nobody stops me. Now, with Sister Rich and I were over in Russia right after the Communist Party had fallen, and the people were afraid to worship the Lord. For 70 years, they'd been under oppression, and they feared for their lives. And they said sometimes they'd go out close to the railroad track and have a little service out in the woods. And when a train come by, then they'd lift their hands and praise the Lord. And I can understand why they might not want to praise the Lord there. But I have a hard time wondering sometimes why we don't praise the Lord. And why we don't worship God, and why I don't get in and take my liberty. We have freedom here. We have liberty here. And I thank God for it. Thank Brother Moore for asking me to preach tonight. I'm glad to see Brother Joe Wilson here tonight. And another sister back here by Sister Boxley, we've known a long time. I'm so glad to see her here. And everyone that's here in the house of the Lord. And my cousins have been coming. They're supposed to be back Friday night and bring some of their family members with them. And you know what my cousin told me? Now, she's as worldly can be. But she looked at me and said, Don, put her arm around me. I hadn't heard that kind of preaching since I was just a child. Well, what's wrong with these preachers? We've all got this same book. I don't know why we're not preaching that Jesus Christ saves from sin. Wasn't that the promise made? Oh, to Mary, his name shall be called Emmanuel, for he will save his people from their sins. And I believe when people really and truly get born again, they stop that sin business. Oh, we all are subject to stumbling and falling. But what I found out, if you make a mistake, you can run quickly to Jesus. What that old song says, if I try and fail in my trying, hands sore and scarred from the work I have done, take up your cross, run quickly to meet him, for he'll understand and say, well done. That's the solution to sin's problem, is coming to Jesus Christ. I want to read some scripture tonight, and as promised, I said I would preach tonight on midnight jailbreak. First of all, I want to read from Acts the 16th chapter. Acts the 16th chapter. Hallelujah. If you have it, say amen. Verse 16 of the 16th chapter. Paul speaking, and it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which shew unto us the way of salvation. This did she many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I commend thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. And when her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers and brought them to the magistrate, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city. And they teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Not only did the prisoners hear them, but there was a God in heaven that heard them. Oh, yes. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison was shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, waking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. I want to read one other verse of scripture, Isaiah 61, verse 1. This is a prophecy concerning Jesus Christ. He repeats this in the New Testament. But he says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. How many are saved tonight and you know you're saved? Well, I'm going to tell you, you one time was in the devil's prison house. And somebody came that had power to open the prison. Hear me tonight. And this background of my text tonight came about as Paul and Silas were on a missionary journey. After Paul had seen a vision of a man from Macedonia who said to Paul, come over to Macedonia and help us. And it was there that they met a woman named Lydia who opened her house. She was a worshiper of God and she was saved with her entire household and baptized. After this, she opened her home for Paul and Silas to lodge in. And Paul and Silas went to prayer, there was a damsel that was possessed with a spirit of divination. She was a fortune-telling lady who brought her masters much gain. And she began to follow Paul and Silas and cried, these men are servants of the Most High, which shew unto us the way of salvation. She did this for many days. What she said was correct, but you can't use the devil's powder to shoot God's gun. If you're going to give glory to God, you've got to be right with God. If you're not right with God, no matter how many good things you say about God, it will not be edifying because you have to be right with God. This woman did this for many days. And finally, Paul turned and said to that spirit, come out. And he came out that same hour, and when her masters saw that the hope of their gains were gone, they caught Paul and Silas and brought them to the magistrates, who falsely accused them of greatly disturbing the city and teaching things that were not their lawful for them to keep. And the magistrates rose up together against them and rent off their clothes. And they beat them and then cast them into prison, commanding the jailer to put them in the inner prison and make their feet fast in stocks and bonds. And now we come to my theme, verse 25. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. Oh, yes, they were in the jailhouse. They were bound, their feet were in stocks, and I didn't know what they were till some time ago in Panama. I was up in a village, and they had those stocks where they put people's feet in and bring, they're carved out down at the bottom. They have another log like that's carved out at the top or board, and they put them down, and then they have another board that comes over their chest. No way for them to raise up to loose those bands. Well, they put Paul and Silas in those stocks. Oh, yes. They treated them roughly, no doubt, and beat them. But the Bible said, at midnight, Paul and Silas, they sang praises, prayed and sang praises unto God. And as they began to sing and praise the Lord, the prisoners heard them. They weren't ashamed of their Lord. Even though they were bound, they were not ashamed. And suddenly as they began to praise God, there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors of that jailhouse were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. They was having a midnight jailbreak that night. Oh, yes. Everyone's doors were loosed. The thieves' doors to his cell. The alcoholics' doors to his cell. The robbers' doors to his cell. Every cell of every wicked man or woman that was in that place Whenever Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises and God began to shake that old prison house, those doors began to swing open. I believe we can still have a jailbreak. You realize, as I've already said, we all were one time in the devil's prison house. But Jesus came to open the prison house to them that are bound. Let me tell you something. I have people that tell me all the time, Brother Rich, I can't quit doing this. I smoke, or I lie, or I cheat, or I run around on my wife, or I do this, and I just can't seem to quit. You know why? You're in the prison house of the devil, and he is your master, and you're going to do what your master says. But there's a way to change masters. There's a way to get somebody else in control, and that's to come to Jesus Christ. And now when we come to verse 25, it says, at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises, and this earthquake came. Conditions don't seem conducive for revival, does it? Oh, no. It seemed like it was out of place. It seemed like a time for other things. But Paul and Silas decided to have them a midnight revival and have a midnight jailbreak. Oh, you got to understand these circumstances at that time. Listen, this gives me hope that we can have a revival right here at New Mission. Oh, say, well, the services have been kind of bound. Yeah, I know that. I'm the one up here doing the preaching. And some of you have not obeyed the Lord. And some of you sit there like them mummies I just talked about down there in Mexico. Oh, yes. But listen to me. A God that is so powerful that He can shake the foundations of a prison is powerful enough to loose anything and everything that might have you bound. Oh, yes. A God shook that prison and they had a midnight jailbreak. Oh, the keepers of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, he had a charge on him. He knew if he let a prisoner escape, it'd be his life for their life. So when he saw those prison doors open, he drew out his sword. And he's going to take his own life. But Paul saw what was happening. He said, do thyself no harm, for we're all here. Nobody's left. Just the jailhouse is open. The doors are open to the cells. But nobody's left. We're all right here. And that jailer, realizing that God was in this, he got under conviction. And he come and brought Paul and Silas out and he fell at their feet. And that's where we have the greatest question that's ever been asked by anyone. What must I do to be saved? Oh, the greatest question that'll ever be asked is when someone says, what must I do to be saved? Well, here is the original answer. We're living in a day when people are interested in original things. Well, here is the original answer. They did not say, go join New Mission Church. Or they didn't say, go join the Baptist Church. They didn't say, go to the Catholic Church and let the Catholic priest pray over you and sprinkle you with what they call holy water. No, they didn't say that. They didn't say, join the Mormon Church. But they gave the only true answer to the greatest question that's ever been asked. It can only have one true answer. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. There's a promise for us right there, Sister Rich. Our daughter's supposed to be here Friday night, Tanya. I don't know, is Leah coming? We want them to come. That's a promise for them, for us. If you have unsaved loved ones, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. But don't stop there. They shall be saved, thou shalt be saved, and thy house. Is that the way it reads in your Bible? Oh, how many have unsaved loved ones? How many have them right in your house, unsaved loved ones in your house? Well, nobody. Well, my hand's going up. Not in my home, but in my household and my family. Oh, yes. Listen to me. If I can just believe, Oh, if I can just believe, listen to me, I'm going to soon be finished. He brought them out and said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul spake the word of God to them. Oh, yes. And the jailer and his entire household were saved and baptized them after midnight. And after the baptism service, the jailer started something that's still going on among the holiness people. He set meat before them, and they sat down and ate after midnight, after church service. Boy, it's still going on. Oh, we're still getting home and eating. Oh, hallelujah. Listen, we were one time in the prison house of the devil. But Brother Richard, one of the greatest things that ever happened to me, when I looked up one night, a young man, and I saw that there was somebody more powerful than the power that had me bound. And I saw that the prison doors had been opened. And I walked out free in the name of Jesus. And if the Son shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I'm telling you the truth tonight. If you've got sin in your life, if you're under condemnation, Jesus can make you free. There is therefore now, Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and of death. I remember preaching on the radio every day in Kansas City. One day I got a letter from the chaplain, the prison chaplain. This was Leavenworth Federal Penitentiary. And he said, we have an inmate here that's been listening to you on a little transistor radio that we have furnished him, and he was listening to you, and he wants to see you. Well, I thought I'd just walk over there, say, I'm Brother Don Rich, a pastor of Wyandotte Tabernacle. I'm here to see Larry Webb, and they just opened the gate. But it was not the county jail. It was the federal penitentiary. Boy, you don't just walk in those places. You can get in a jail down here about any time. And some of them got in there when they really didn't want to get in there. But anyhow, just throw that in for good measure. But anyhow, listen to me. I finally got clearance by filling out applications. About 3 weeks or so went by. Proved that I had never been convicted of a felony. And I finally got a letter of approval to go see Larry Webb. I went over there. And at the first gate, guards met me. I showed them my letter of approval and I told them who I was there to see. And they put me in this first gate. I thought I'm in the prison, but I wasn't yet. Those guards kept going with me. Finally, I come to a gate, and it was electronic, steel door, and it just opened. And I went on through with this guard. Then we come to another gate of bars, and the guard pushed a button, I guess somewhere, and it opened, and there I met the chaplain of the prison, and he said, I showed him the letter, and he said, oh yes, Larry, he's here wanting to see you, Larry Webb. And I don't guess any relation to Randy Webb, but I said, yes, I'm here to see him. So I went on with this chaplain, and we went through some more doors. And if I remember correctly, we went through some more bars. And finally, we rounded a corner and come around. And he said, Larry is back here in special confinement. And took me back in there. And I only could get about this close to Larry. That's all, just about like this. But here's what Larry said. He said, you're Brother Rich. I said, yes. He said, I've been listening to you preach over that little transistor radio. And he said, you said one day, no matter what we had done, no matter how many terrible crimes or sins we had committed, if I'd kneel down and ask Jesus to forgive me, He would forgive me of every sin. So I knelt down right there in that corner and I repented of my sins, and he raised a hand and said, it feels so good to be free. Still in the prison, but he was out of the devil's prison house. He'd had a jailbreak. Oh, I said he'd had a jailbreak. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Let me tell you something tonight. If you're here and you're being held captive by the enemy in the enemy's prison house, Jesus' ministry was to have a jailbreak. For the Bible plainly tells us, and I read it to you there in the 61st chapter of Isaiah, that he come to for the opening of the prison. That's what he came to do. One day I saw that Christ Jesus had broken down those prison walls for me, and I walked out a free man. And now tonight, I can tell you firsthand that the same Jesus that helped me break out of the devil's prison house is right here tonight, willing to help you come out of your prison. You say, well, Brother Rich, I'm not doing no bad things. I'm going to tell you something. I preached a sermon in my early ministry, and somebody reminded me of it. I preached on, have you got your ticket? Have you got it? It's the blood. Is that your sins under the blood? Has your sins been covered by the blood? If they're not, you don't have your ticket. You're not going to be admitted into heaven if you do not have your sins covered by the blood. Oh, hallelujah. Hear me tonight. Our leader, Jesus Christ, it was the leader of this midnight jailbreak. Oh, and somebody may have seen Paul and Silas. Said, I thought you guys was in the jailhouse. We were until Jesus gave us a midnight jailbreak and brought us out. How many one time was in the devil's prison house? Do you feel good being free? Don't let that devil put that condemnation back on you. I like what Sister Rich said one time. She testified, I think it was down in Georgia somewhere, and she said, when the devil comes around reminding me of my past, I remind him of his future. For you see, one angel came down and he had a chain in his hand and he bound that old devil. But when he gets him all bound up good, if God would permit me, I'd say, hey, just a minute before he throw him off in that bottomless pit, let me come up and kick him two or three times in the side for all the mean things he's done to me. She said, when the devil reminds me of my past, I remind him of his future. You know he's going to be cast into the bottomless pit? Did you know that he's going to be there with a false prophet? But not only with them, but you're going to be there too if you don't have the saving blood of Jesus Christ on your life. So that's why I'm preaching here tonight. You don't have to be a captive in the prison house of the devil. Oh, you can be free to go free tonight. Oh, God's power that shook that entire prison at midnight where Paul and Silas was at. If he could shake the very foundations of that prison, don't you think that he can shake a sinner loose from his sins tonight? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I remember my brother, Bill Rich. I'm sorry to say, but Bill left Oklahoma and went to Kansas to the wheat harvest with some other men. Bill was about 20 years old. He come home. While he was up there, he got to drinking. Now listen, evil communications corrupt good manners. Be careful who you keep company with. Oh yes, you can have friends out there in the world. You can have friends that are alcoholics, even drug addicts. You can have friends of low morals as friends, but there has to be a line drawn. Oh yes, oh yes. And my brother got up there and he got to drinking. He told us later he fully intended when he came back home and under mom and dad's roof that he'd never drink again. But sin has a way of wrapping its bands and cords around him, around you, or anyone that will yield to it. And one night, I'll never forget it, he come in, knocked on the door. Dad opened the door. And when we come in the threshold, he fell. And he was drunk. I'll never forget my mother on the old linoleum floor. She left a puddle of tears that big, crying with a broken heart. Her son drunk. My dad finally got him in bed the next morning. He sat down at the table and he said, "Now, son, you're welcome at this table. But if you ever come home again, like you came home last night, your bed's going to be empty and you're not going to sit down at your place at the table." Well, he crossed his heart. But you can do that. Promise never to do it again. But I'm going to tell you something. The devil has a way of getting sinners to break their promises. Oh, yes. He promised he'd never do it again. But a few weeks later, he came in drinking again. And Dad told my mother, said, "Get his clothes." Out he goes. And thank God for mothers. They've got more compassion than us men, our fathers. And my mother fell down right in front of my dad and wept and cried and interceded with him for my brother, as Jesus intercedes with us, with the Father, because of our sins. And Dad finally permitted him to stay. Dad said he never seen anybody work as hard in the fields as my brother did the next few days, trying to make up for it. But no matter what you do, sin can only be covered and forgiven by the blood. Am I preaching the truth tonight? Only by the blood can sins be forgiven and covered. Well, he came back in one night, drunk again. And Dad said, "Bill's coming." And Mom said, "I hope he hadn't been drinking." But he had. And Dad was ready to put him out. But Mom once again interceded. A few weeks later, my brother was out with the boys. I'm talking about probably 70 years ago. They passed a little Assembly of God church. And the men that was with him said, "I guess everybody's a coward to go into church." My brother said, "I'm not a coward to go into church." He said, "Mama's took me to church many times." He said, "Did some guy bet him $5? "Yeah," Shirley said, "yeah, bet him $5 he wouldn't go in that church." Took him up on that bet. I don't guess he ever collected, but he took him up on that bet and went in that church. And the old-fashioned preacher was up preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why the Apostle Paul said, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation." It's not how good the speaker is. It's not how he's dressed so much. Oh yes, it's not what he's got his hair combed. The power is in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That old-fashioned preacher was preaching. My brother was in that church drinking. But when that gospel began to go forth, conviction began to come down. He said my brother couldn't walk straight, but when he gave the invitation, he come down to the altar. And the saints of God stayed with him. The pastor said they prayed well over an hour till God sobered him up and saved him from his sins. We lived down a lane, and in the night, lights turned down the lane. And Dad said, "I guess Bill's coming in." Mom said, "I hope he's not drinking again." And Dad said, "He better not be drinking again." Whenever he come and knocked on the door, Dad opened the door, and there stood the preacher and my brother. And Bill said, "Dad, it's not like you think this time. I've been to church. It's not like you think. I've been to church. And Jesus has saved my soul." To my knowledge, 70 years, 60 or 70, close to 70 years went by. And he never touched another drop of alcohol. There's power. I said, there's power in the blood of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. But I feel the Holy Ghost here. You can be saved and delivered tonight. You can come and find liberty and freedom. My brother started preaching the gospel and preached 2 weeks before he died. They had to set him up in a chair. Cancer had eaten up a lot of his body. But he sat in a chair and preached 2 weeks before he died the glorious gospel that Jesus saves. Jesus saves. I remember in Kansas City one time, surely you'll remember this. I was preaching on Mother's Day. And I was preaching a Mother's Day message. I got a couple pretty good ones, Brother Moore, because mothers are to be honored. And I was preaching a Mother's Day message. And a couple sinners, rough-looking men, came in and sat on the back. And of course, I dropped my Mother's Day message. And I went to preaching about salvation. And as I preached, I asked the congregation, let's say it in unison. Jesus saves! Jesus saves! And twice, the entire congregation said, Jesus saves! Jesus saves! And these two men, nobody talked to them, but there was a spirit that deals with man's spirit. That spirit drew them, and they come to the altar and were saved. I want to tell you tonight, sir, ma'am, Jesus still saves. Still saves young men and young girls and young boys. We just come out of a youth camp down in Panama. I don't know how many were saved down there. And Brother Shoecraft and my grandson Derek and Titus Shoecraft preaching. I don't know how many were saved. And several, I believe it's 15 went through the Holy Ghost. That's wonderful. But all of that, no one can take glory for. No one can take honor for it. Only Jesus can deal with souls and save. So tonight, if you're here, you just feel a little tug at your heart. You say, preacher, I'd like to come and just invite Jesus into my heart. It's not a big, long process sometimes. I remember when was that guy come in one night up there in Kansas City, living with that woman. I thought they were married. Y'all had to take clothes and cover up when she knelt at the altar to hide her nakedness. We'd still cover some up if they truly wanted to repent, would we? Hey, would we? Oh, yes, they had to cover up because she didn't have enough clothes to cover the backside of her. They put clothes over her. Say, well, at least you shouldn't tell that. I'm going to tell it. And the man knelt here. She knelt there. When that service was over, we had two redeemed souls. And they continued on. And I went to visit them, and they lived in a rough part of town. And he said, we're really not married. But neither one has been married. And said, I know the rules of that church. Would you marry us? I said, no, not until I counsel with you and see how your feelings are toward one another, because I'm not for divorce and remarriage. Just tell folks the way I see it and believe it. I said, I'm not for it. And I said, so I'll counsel with you. And I begin to counsel with them. Neither woman had ever been married before. Both of them was saved. And he said, I told her we could not go on living like this since we have been saved by the power of God. You can't keep on committing fornication, my friend, once you find Jesus. You can't keep on committing adultery once you find Jesus. Sins have to stop. It wasn't long until we were praying them over and over until they had great victory. We were having a wedding ceremony and tied them together. And the last I heard, they were still living for Jesus. Jesus really saves. I said, he really changes you. Does not the Bible says, brother, answer me. Does the Bible say, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. And behold, all things are become new. You change character when you get saved. I'm not proud of it. I used to be a sinner. And I know some of you, but you try to be too holy, but you was a sinner too. For we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But I used to get out with the boys at noontime, roll them dice. You know, try to scrape in a few extra dimes and quarters. Yeah, I've been a sinner. I know what it's like to be a sinner. But oh, it's so much better being a child of the King. I was taking a chance for my money there, but with Jesus, you take no chances. I know there's a song, won't you give God a chance? Have you ever heard that song? Give God a chance. He knows what to do. Well, you don't give God no chances. You give Him your heart, and He knows exactly what to do. It's not a chance. If you'll come and meet the conditions, He will save your soul. Oh, I thank you tonight, because I know that there was a midnight jailbreak, and Paul and Silas was there, but that Philippian jailer also was saved in his entire house. Thank God there is such victory whenever the Lord comes and rescues us from our sins. Would you stand with me, please? I wonder if there's one that say, Brother Rich, while every head's bowed, you say, Brother Rich, please remember me in prayer. I'm not a Christian, but I want to become a Christian. And you just lift your hand for prayer right now. In the name of Jesus, raise that hand quickly. Raise that hand quickly. In the name of Jesus. I feel like God's talking to some heart right now. Right this moment, somebody's getting a call. Please understand that Jesus Himself said, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man would hear my voice and will open the door, I will come in and I'll sup with him and he with me. And we'll have fellowship one with another. Could I see a hand anywhere? Say, Brother Rich, I don't feel like I'm prepared to meet the Lord. Should he call me out of this world tonight? I'm afraid I'm not ready. Please remember me in prayer. Raise that hand quickly. I'm not going to come to you, but I am going to pray for you. Yes, I see one hand. Are there another hand that will go up? Say, Brother Rich, I'm not prepared, but I want to get prepared tonight. This is your night. Young man, young boy, young girl, this is your time. You can't find the Lord too soon, but you can't wait too long. You see, life has many, many decisions. Eternity only has two, heaven or hell. That's all. Could I see another hand be lifted? Say, Preacher, I'm not saved, but I want to accept the Lord as my Savior tonight. Raise that hand quickly right now. That's why I'm preaching. That's why I'm up here using my strength. My legs is tired. I did a lot of walking today, but I'm not too tired to tell you that there's a Jesus that loves you. I'd like to ask this man that lifted his hand if he's able to come to this altar right now. Come on down here and just sit on this altar and we'll pray with you. Come right on. Yes, he's coming. Brother Richard will help you. Hallelujah. Jesus will save your soul tonight. Now, I want you to tell you this. Your soul is just as valuable as mine or anyone else's. And when Jesus died on that cross, He died for this man. You can sit down right there. When Jesus died on that cross, He died for this man. There's others here. You'd say, Brother Rich, why don't you come on and pray with us tonight? Come on back home. Come home. Sister Debbie, would you come to the piano? Let's sing that old song. Come home, come home, ye who are weary, come home. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. Won't you come home? Why don't you come on home? Why don't you come to Jesus tonight? Why don't you let him touch your heart? Let him touch your life. Don't come and hear the gospel and then go out and be lost and you'll get condemned at the judgment.
Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling.
Oh, God.
Calling.
Why don't
for you,
come?
You and for me.
Oh, God.
See,
come into my heart, Lord
the
Jesus.
Portals. He's
forgive me my sins.
And watching.
You've got to confess your sins.
Watching for
Lord, I'm
you
a sinner, and I want you to forgive me
for
of my sins.
Me. Come home.
Come on home. Come on home.
Come home.
Oh, hallelujah.
Tenderly, Jesus
God,
is calling,
right now.
Calling,
soul.
Oh sinner,
change his heart.
Come
change
home,
his life. Woo! Move on him, Jesus, oh God, oh, God.
Just
hallelujah.
As I am,
this is your night.
Without
this is your time. You got an appointment here with the Lord tonight.
But
anyone else want to come?
Thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me
Lord,
come.
I believe you died on the cross for me, Lord.
O Lamb of God,
I believe you'll forgive me.
I come.
Oh, God, loose him.
Devil,
you can't hold him prisoner any longer. Loose him tonight.
Lord, let him feel peace.
Just
set him free by the power of the Holy Ghost.
I am. And waiting not to rend my soul of one dark blood.
Go ahead, go ahead. Seek the Lord while he may be found.
Whose blood can cleanse. Spot, O Lamb of God, I come, I come, just as I am. Without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me
ahead. Go all the way. Let that blood wash every sin away. Oh God, Jesus forgives. The premium is not on sins that we've committed. The premium is on His forgiveness of our sins. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. God, give him that experience that he needs. Give him that touch from God. Loose him tonight. Satan, take your hands off of him. The prison door opener is here to open the doors of the prison.
Jesus saves. He still does. He'll make of you someone new. Cleanse the sin that was. The Holy Spirit whispers, no more must you be enslaved. Just believe it. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. He still does.
Thank you, Lord, for giving
He'll
me peace.
Of you. Someone new cleanse the sin that was. The Holy Spirit whispers, no more must you be enslaved. Just believe it. Jesus saves.
Let me tell you this. You can stack this building full of $100 bills, but you cannot buy peace. If you gave it all, it would not buy peace. But Jesus said, peace I give you. My peace I leave with you. Not as the world giveth, so give I unto you. The Lord will put peace in your heart. Oh, He'll stop that raging storm. And He'll put a calmness there. Thank God for Jesus. Whew. Keep praying for the lost. Keep praying for the backsliders. We need to have a soul-saving revival. And who knows what could happen if we'd all just take some time to pray for the revival. I was praying this afternoon at my house. And Sister Rich and I also was discussing it. We were wondering if folks were really putting their heart into it. I remember old Brother Jeff Utter preaching, you can't win it if your heart's not in it. And that's so true. Your heart's got to be in it if you win it. Mm-hmm. God bless this man here. Oh, the love of God.
Jesus,
the love of God.
Saves. He still does.
Oh, yes.
Hallelujah. He'll make of you someone new. Cleanse the sin that was. The Holy Spirit whispers, no more must you be enslaved. Just believe it. Jesus saves. We talk of heaven's beauty, and that's good.
Oh, yes. Bless Lord.
We talk of loving others, and we should. But to a dying world, the greatest thing that we can say is take a look at Calvary. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. He still does.
Yes, He saves.
He'll make us.
While we worship the Lord some here tonight.
New.
Oh God, we love You for Your saving power.
The Holy Spirit whispers, no more must
to bring peace.
You be enslaved? Just believe it. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. He still does.
Go ahead, son. Go ahead and look to the Lamb of God.
Someone new, cleanse us, sin that was. The Holy Spirit whispers, no more must you be enslaved. Just believe it. Jesus saves.
John the Baptist was preaching on the shores of Jordan there. One day he looked up with two of his disciples. And he saw a man coming. And he said to his two disciples, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. That word behold means look upon him. When you look upon him, you'll see him as a Savior. Oh yes, a crucified Savior. And Brother Moore's been with me all the way up to San Juan Picanee in Panama, where Brother Moses' church is. Now, you folks, you young preachers, you think you got to have a church? I was just preaching out beside the road, along the side of the road. Several people walking up and down. And here comes this man that's preaching on Jesus, the Prince of Peace. And here comes this man who turned out to be one of my best preachers. Couldn't read nor write his name, and God taught him how to read and how to write. And also, one of the teachers that's up there in that village said, when we have a word we can't pronounce, we go and ask your pastor how to pronounce this word. God was his teacher. You know him, Brother Moore. And I was preaching on Jesus, the Prince of Peace, right along the side of the road. I didn't have no fancy church like this, no PA system. Of course, I usually don't need one out like that, and I was just preaching away. Here comes this man crying. Said, I don't have peace. My wife, Claudia, she don't have peace. And had his oldest son with him. He was about 13 or 14. Said, we need that peace. And I said, the only way you can have this peace is to accept Jesus Christ, who is the Prince of Peace. That's the only way. And right there beside the road, gave his heart to the Lord and turned out even with the gift of discernment. Oh, wow. Yeah, you can do it. But Jesus, I didn't do that. Wasn't me. It was just the Lord.